The fourth reading of Parshas Bamidbar begins with the third chapter of the book. V'eila teldeis Aharon u'Moshe. My head is cut off. The whole thing is crooked. You okay now?
Yeah.
All right. Good morning. As I was saying, the fourth reading of Parshas Bamidbar begins at the beginning of the third chapter of the book. And here, after having concluded the Jewish people's census and the arrangements of the camp with the banners, unique flags that identify them, the Torah turns its attention towards the tribe of Levi. And specifically, we hear about the families of Moshe and Aaron and the Kohanim. The Eila told us Aharon u'Moshe. These are the offspring of Aaron, who is the elder brother, who is the Kohen, u'Moshe, the younger brother, who is the leader of the Jewish people. B'yoyim diber Hashem es Moshe b'Har Sinai. On the day that God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So Rashi says, what? Ve'ela told us Moshe v'Aaron? That's interesting. Let's take a look at the next pasuk. Let's find out who Moshe's children are. Ve'ela shmeis b'nei Aharon, says pasuk beis. And these are the names of the children of Aaron. HaBechor, the eldest, is Nadav. And then comes Aviu. And then is Elazar. And then is Isamar. And then the Torah emphasizes in the third verse, Eila Shmeis B'nei Aharon. These are the names of the children of Aaron. HaKoyanim, HaMeshuchim, who were anointed for that purpose. Asher Mila Yodom L'Chahin, who had, so to speak, become inaugurated, who had filled their hand in order to be able to serve. And lest you think the Torah is just talking about who is practically engaged and involved, Vayomos Nadav Aviu, verse 4 says that Nadav and Aviu passed Lefnei Hashem before God, Behakrivam Eish Zara Lefnei Hashem, when they brought a strange fire, an alien fire before God, Bemidbar Sinai, in the desert of Sinai, Uvanim Lehoyolem, and they had no children, Vayichai in Elazar Veisomar, Alpnei Aaron Avim, Elazar and Isamar, the younger two sons, the remaining sons, they ministered and served in the Beis HaMikdash together with Aaron during his lifetime. Not only after he passed, but during his lifetime. All right, so now it's, I guess the next pasuk is going to be about Moshe's family, right? Because we said this is the, told us, this is the offspring, the generation of Aaron and Moshe. And in verse 2 and 3 and 4, we talked about the children of Aaron. Comes verse 5, Vaidab, Rashom Moshe Leimer. New parsha, new idea. Hakrev esmate Levi, bring close the tribe of Levi. Forget the specific families of Moshe v'Aaron. Now we talk about the tribe, a much, much bigger family. V'hamata oisoi lefnei Aharon hakoyen. You will stand them before Aaron the high priest. V'shersu oisoi, they will serve him. In other words, the Levites will help the Kohanim do their job. And here we hear about the details, Veshamru es Mishmartai, they'll keep their watch, Ves Mishmeres kol ha'kol ha'edah, on the watch on behalf of the entire congregation of Ne'el Moed, before the tent or tabernacle of meeting, La'avay des Avedes HaMishkan, to serve in the place where Hashem's Shechina resides. And then we hear about the Kelim, and the Levim be given over to Aaron, and Aaron is responsible for them. And if the Kohanim and Levim, they mix and meld, that'll be a very bad idea, and that'll have bad consequences. And then there's a new parsha. Vayidaber Hashem, verse 11, Vayidaber Hashem Meshalemer, Vayini hini lo kachti yisal Levim, mitech b'nei Yisrael. Here's a business about the Levites being separated from the rest of the Jewish people. And we hear about firstborns. And the firstborns were supposed to serve, but they will no longer serve. Where's the children of Moshe? There's no children of Moshe. It starts off saying, Eilu told us Aharon u'Moshe. And we go through the children of Aaron, the ones who are living, and the ones who sadly aren't. We talk about the career of the remaining children, Vayechayim, that they can minister under the tutelage of Aaron. And then we go into a new parsha. And then we talk about Levites. And we talk about Levites and their relationship with Kohanim, and their purpose, and their job, and the Bechor, the firstborn, who is sanctified unto God, but who will no longer serve in the Mishkan. Because it's Joseph Baisha. Something is totally out of whack. So Rashi says, Ve'ela tel deis aharenu Meisha. The verse here in what we have as chapter 3 opens up with this verse that kind of heralds what's to come. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. And Rashi says, Ve'enoi maskir elo b'nei Aharon. He only mentions the children of Aaron. So what's going on here? And Rashi's response is, his explanation is, Ve'nikru toldos Moshe. They, the children of Aaron, are called clearly the offspring of Moshe. It's clear that they're called the offspring of Moshe because it says, Elo toldos Aaron u Moshe. These are the offspring of Aaron and Moshe. B'yim dibur Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai, on the day that God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. In other words, on the day that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah to teach the rest of the Jewish people. So clearly, the children of Aaron are called the offspring of Moshe. Malame, this teaches us, the Rashi says, this is l'fi shalim don Torah, because he taught them Torah. So because he taught them Torah, he was considered as if he was their father. Malami, this teaches us, Shekola Malami, this ben chavere teira, anybody who teaches somebody else's children Torah. Maila lavar kosov, the pasuk, the verse considers it as if, ki'ilu yiladai, as if he gave birth to them. In other words, like this. There's three things going on here. Number one, it says, toldes aron u'meisha. But in fact, there is no children of Meisha mentioned here. That is a problem. The problem. The scripture says something and it doesn't do what it says. I'm going to tell you about the children of Moshe Aaron, but in fact, I'm not telling you about the children of Moshe Aaron. So this is a question. What's the answer? The answer is to be found in the words, B'yayim dibir Hashem es Moshe. In the same pasuk, it emphasizes the day that God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, that there comes a time when Moshe Rabbeinu was empowered to be the teacher of Torah. He becomes Moshe Rabbeinu. So if it has something to do with power of teaching Torah, so then we say that it must be that Aaron's children were considered Moshe's children. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Torah. Now there's a third part here, a third component of this business. Why is the Torah telling this to us? Of what relevance is it that Moshe Rabbeinu had a really good relationship with his nephews? So what? So what? So what if he taught his nephews Torah? Really and truly, he taught all the Jewish people Torah. He's Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe the teacher. He is the ultimate Torah teacher. He may have been the greatest of prophets, but he's still not called Moshe Hanavi. He's called Moshe Harebe, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because he taught Torah. That's his thing. As the last of the formal prophets, Malachi said, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. The whole Torah is called Moshe. It's Al-Shem Moshe. Moshe is the greatest teacher of all time. So Moshe is the greatest teacher of all time because when he taught people Torah, they were considered his offspring. So we should know that when we teach somebody Torah, they become like our offspring. That's the basic gist of this Rashi. So why does it say, B'yem Dibir Hashem es Moshe? So Rashi says, I'll tell you why. Nasu Elu Tel Deshalei, that they became like his offspring. Why is that? Shalimda mashalom de piagvura, because he taught them that which he learned from the proverbial mouth of the might, meaning from Hashem. So in other words, the Torah wants us to know about the power of Torah teaching. And the way the Torah conveys to us the power of Torah teaching is by emphasizing when it did introduce the children of Aaron, it had to introduce them also as the children of Moshe. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that there are other ways of understanding this. The Psaji Gaon, for example, says, Toldos Moshe v'Aaron is that ultimately it's not speaking about the children of Aaron or Moshe, speaking about the nation of Israel. Aaron and Moshe, worried about the Jewish people, provided for the Jewish people, had anxiety for the Jewish people, did all the things a parent does. You should know that when we talk about the Jewish people and the Levites represent the nation of Israel, ultimately it's all like progeny of Moshe v'Aaron. All right? And this goes into the larger idea of Torah leaders being like parents and so on and so forth. The Abarbanel says, of course, incidentally, the problem with Reb Sag Yigon's Pirush is that the verses that follow, verses 2, 3, and 4, actually do speak about the children of Aaron. So it's rather odd to say that here is where Hashem tells us that Aaron and Moshe are like the parents of the nation, when in fact, the next few verses do talk about Aaron's children and don't talk about Moshe's children. So on a literal level, it seems to be talking about actual children. And yet, we heard about Moshe, we heard about Aaron, but the children are only the children of Aaron. Another way of understanding this is developed by the Abarbanel. He says that it could be that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu's children are not mentioned is because at this point they were very small. Of course they were very small. This is 1 year after they left Mitzrayim. How old were Moshe Rabbeinu's children when they left Mitzrayim? So the baby was 6 months old or 9 months old. We know that because he was on the way down to Egypt. And the baby got circumcised. So it's a year later. So it's a year and a half old. He's not exactly learning Torah at a year and a half. Maybe he's 2.5 years old. He still didn't have an upsharon. Okay, he's a little boy. His older brother was just like a year older. So he was 4 years old. He had an upsharon. These are little children. So Tzipora was taking care of little children. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have children to speak of, whereas Aaron had been married many years earlier. And Aaron had grown children. Of course, the problem with the Abarbanel's interpretation is then why mention Moshe? why mention Moshe? In other words, the Abarbanel's interpretation is meaningful only after you have Rashi. If you have Rashi, it says this is the offspring of Moshe v'Aaron. So why did you mention the offspring of Moshe? Surely he taught them Torah too. Well, because they were little children. So then why mention Moshe altogether? So it has to be that the children of Aaron felt a paternal link to Moshe. And that's why he mentions Moshe v'Aaron. The Or HaChaim, the Kli Yoker, they speak about this idea that Bnei Aharon are like Moshe's because Hashem made a decree against Aaron because of his involvement in the eagle. And the decree was that he would bury his children. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself says that I was able to push back halfway. I was able to push back halfway. With my prayer, I was able to save some of your children. So if his prayer, he saved some of the children, if not for the prayers of Moshe, there'd be nobody left. So therefore, Moshe becomes like the father because Moshe Rabbeinu actually saved Aaron's children through his prayer. And there's no question about the fact that that's true, but nonetheless, of what relevance is that to say Moshe be Aaron? So all of these midrashic interpretations, they all follow the notion that first we have to have a literal explanation. After you have a little explanation, the literal explanation can be augmented and can be developed and can be more appreciated. But without a little literal explanation, we really go nowhere over here. And the Mizrahi says that's the emphasis of the B'yom Dibur Hashem es Moshe, because the point is, from that day and onward, Moshe Rabbeinu became the Torah teacher. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's initial career was to be a redeemer, his Jewish career at least. He had other careers. He had an Eritrean career. He had a Midianite career. In Eritrea, called Ethiopia, he was a general, a military man. And then he became a shepherd, the CEO of shepherd.com. Right? Sheep are us. And then he became a redeemer, a Goel. He was a redeemer. And then after he was the Goel who redeemed the Jewish people, then came Shavuos. And then came Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very interesting that all the pismonim, all the songs, Sephardic songs, Ashkenazic, Yetzer, all the liturgy that was created around Shavuos has a tremendous emphasis on Moshe Rabbeinu. And they sing songs with Moshe Rabbeinu's name. But on Pesach, Moshe is hardly mentioned. In the Haggadah, you don't find the name of Moshe. I think once. Why? Because we say when it came to going out of Mitzrayim, it really wasn't Moshe who took us out of Mitzrayim. Who took us out of Egypt? Hashem took us out of Egypt. But we say, Moshe kibol Torah miSinai. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from Sinai. For obvious reasons. Because if God took us out of Egypt, great. So we believe in God, you know. But
But if God gave us the Torah, okay, which part of the Torah did God give us? In other words, without Moshe, we have no Torah. Once we're out of Egypt, we're out of Egypt. How we got out of Egypt is less relevant. If God sent Moshe, or God sent a Malach, or God did this way, God did that way. Bottom line, we're out of Egypt. How did that happen? God orchestrated that. But if we don't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Torah from God, and we don't take his word seriously, then we have no Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu come and said, this is what I heard. He said, yeah, prove it. Moshe, how do I know you're having a bad day? Why are you making this prohibited? So therefore, the Jewish people had to believe that Moshe was the Rebbe. They had to receive the Torah. All of the Torah came ultimately through Moshe Rabbeinu. And really and truly, Moshe's image is the image not of prophet, not of redeemer, not of magistrate, even though Moshe Melechoyah, Moshe was considered king, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu, teacher. So that's why we emphasize, it's B'yom Dibur Hashem, the day that Moshe went on to his final and lasting career as the teacher of Torah of the Jewish people. The Maharal of Prague says, B'yom Dibur Hashem says that even if somebody teaches just one word to somebody, one idea to somebody, already they become Kilu Yolodeh. Now, there is a long rumination from the Rebbe where he explains that for all of us, it's ki'ilu yulada. It's as if. For Moshe Rabbeinu with Aaron's children, it was actual. It was literal because he gave them the Torah that he got from Sinai. And when you give the Torah you get from Sinai, that Torah has a different level of intensity. So with Aaron, it's actual. It's Eilu Toldos Moshe v'Aaron. But by extension, it becomes relevant for all of us. And that brings us to a beautiful lesson on page Chaf Hei in the Biurim book. I invite you all to join me in the next book at Siman Yud Daled. So the Rebbe says, okay, that's very nice. It's very nice. So you teach somebody Torah, it's as if you gave birth to them. Why as if you gave birth? Of all the things you could be, it's as if you gave birth. Right? Why do you have to give birth? Why can't you say you're considered very important? You become an uncle. You become a brother. I don't know. What's wrong with being a teacher? What is to be a parent for? What's the emphasis on Kilu Yolodeh?
There's no comparison.
No, there's no comparison. Oh. So it has something to do with life. Something to do with life. Giving life. And here the Rebbe says, Yesh Levayres Mashmos HaMaimer. We could explain this teaching. Kol HaMelamed is Ben Chaverei Torah. Anybody who teaches somebody else's children Torah. Maila Olav HaKosav Kilu Yolodeh. That is as if you give birth to them. The Rebbe says he's going to explain it here, Alpi Pnimius HaNyanim, based on the esoteric and mystical traditions of Torah. HaTorah, hi mekor chayev shel kol adam Yisrael. The Torah is the source of our life. As it says, we read this in our davening daily, Ki heim chayenu. For they are our life. There's no exaggeration in Torah. There's no poetry. If we say Ki heim chayenu, then heim chayenu. If that is our life, then that is our life. So the business then of Heim Chayenu is Yehudi HaPoyrish Melimud HaTorah. That means a Jew who Chas V'Shalom separates from the learning of Torah. What happens? Nechoshev Kedog HaPoyrish Menayam is metaphorized as a fish who separates from the ocean, from the sea, from the water. V'hu Me'abed is Chus HaChayim. He loses his or her ability to live. Kedivri Chazal, like it says in the words of our sages, and this is a famous Gemara on Masechah Sanhedrin, in page 99, that it says over there, Kidvar Hashem Viza, he scorned the word of God, he cut his tikkaris, he had cut off from life. And we know that scorning the word of God means ignoring Torah. You ignore Torah, you're gone. That's it. Chalas. Now you know the business with the fish in the water. This is the teaching of Rabbi Akiva. In the time of Rabbi Akiva, towards the end of his life, under brutal Roman occupation, it was proscribed from studying Torah. It was so verboten that if you would study Torah or teach Torah publicly, you could be executed for it. Incidentally, Rabbi Akiva was executed for the sin of teaching Torah publicly. So what happens is that there's this Jewish man, not very observant. His name is Pappas. He's got a Roman name. Pappas ben Yehuda. And Pappas says to Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing, old man? What are you teaching this Torah for? You're going to die. You're going to get arrested. So Rabbi Akiva said, what do you mean? He said, what are you talking about? It's Romans. The Romans are running. The Romans run the roost. They say, you teach Torah, we kill you. You got to stop this. You got to stay alive. Isn't it a Jewish value to stay alive? So Rabbi Akiva tells him, you remind me of the fish and the fox. The fish and the fox? And he tells him a story. That the fox sees the fish in the water and there's a lot of anxiety. High octane, swimming back and forth. And the fox says to the fish, what are you so nervous about? And they say, the fishermen. The fishermen's nets. They spread their nets. They catch us. And then we're done. So the fox said, I have an idea for you. Come on dry land and you'll have no fishermen's nets here. To which they said, if we stay in the water, maybe we get caught. Maybe we don't. Maybe we die, maybe we don't. We come on dry land, for sure we die. And Pappas told, Rabbi Akiva told Pappas, if we study Torah, maybe we'll be killed for it. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll survive. But we'll live. Stop studying Torah, we stop living. There's no more Judaism. That's it. Any community where they stop studying Torah, within 50 years, there was zero, nothing left. No Torah study, no Yiddishkeit. Straight down the tubes. Ki heim chayenu. By the way, Rabbi Akiva was arrested. Guess who he met in prison? Pappas. Pappas didn't make it either. Pappas got arrested for smuggling. And he said to Rabbi Akiva, boy, am I jealous of you, he said. Ashrecha shenitfas al divrei Torah. Look why I'm in prison. Look why you're in prison. I'm a common smuggler. I'm a thief. And you're in prison because you taught Torah. And indeed, the only reason anybody remembers Pappas is only for his challenge to Rabbi Akiva. He's just used as the paradigm of who we shouldn't be. The point then is this. Torah for us, the Jewish people, that's our source of life. The more a Jew studies Torah, the more a Jew brings life, downloads life, brings life into his own existence. Don't study Torah, chas v'shalom, you're removing life. And so, there's the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. And the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov is, as articulated by the Alter Rebbe, in the third section of Tanya of Shaiichad Ve'emuna, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mechadesh, second section of Tanya, pardon. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mechadesh Bechol Rega Es Kiyumim V'Chiyusim Shal Kol Anivroim. That it's not that God once gave us life, but rather God is continuously giving us life. Not only us, all of the world, all of existence. God's continuously powering the world and bringing it into existence. So if God's continuously bringing the world into existence and giving life, Nimtza Shepu'ulas Limud HaTeira Eina pa'ula minas. It's not just when a person learns or doesn't learn Torah, it's not just something which can stop life. Like a person doesn't study Torah, he curses the curse. You lose your ability. It's not a question of putting up a barrier, a shield that stops us from getting life. But rather, it's a pa'ula chiyuvis. It's a positive thing. More Torah, more life. The Mishnah says it. Marba Torah, marba chayim. A lot of Torah, a lot of life. So the study of Torah actually brings us life. For as long as a Jew is studying Torah, and each moment in which you're studying Torah, you cause as if that God, or you force the hand of God, so to speak, to give him new life. Do you know that David HaMelech asked Hashem, what is midas yomai? What is the length of my days? What's the length of my days? And God said, I can't tell you. Nobody can know the length of the days. All David HaMelech got to know was that it would be Shabbos. He was born on Shabbos, and he was passed on Shabbos. So every Shabbos, David HaMelech would study Torah continuously. And when he studied Torah continuously, he was safe. And then every Saturday night, he made a big party because he survives another week. It's real. That's what Malava Malka is. That's Su'udah of the David Malka Mashiach, the Su'udah of David HaMelech. It's an amazing thing. Imagine living with a week of life at a time. You knew Saturday night, Matzah Shabbos, I have another week to live. Imagine how meaningful a person lives his life, knowing I'm living from week to week. Every week is a new gift, and I know I have this week, but it may be my last week. David HaMelech lived every week like it was his last. And so he became such a great tzaddik. So David HaMelech knows he's going to die on Shabbos, but he doesn't want to die. He wants to live long. So what does he do? He studies Torah. And the story goes, if you're studying Torah with full intensity, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death who comes to harvest, can't take your soul. What happened on the Shabbos that David HaMelech was meant to pass, which incidentally is Shavuot? What happened? There was in the garden, the angel of death caused an enormous tree to fall. David HaMelech heard this big falling of a tree. He ran to look what happened. That's what he got him. The point is, Torah is the source of life. The other point is you can't mess with God. When your time comes, your time comes. But seriously.
It wasn't the tree of life then.
It wasn't the tree of life, right? No pun intended. So the point we're making here is v'chol rega, every moment that a Jew learns Torah, he's causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if to give him life. V'lachein, the Rebbe says, in view of all this, now it makes a whole different sense. When we say, kala malamed is ben chaveira teira, whoever teaches somebody else's children Torah, what does the Torah consider it to be? Maila alav kilu yaladei. It's as if he gave birth. Like you said, it's life. It's not friendship. It's not money. It's not protection. It's not sustenance. It's life. It's life itself. So you study Torah, you give life. Somebody is teaching you Torah, they're giving you life. That's kilu yolade. Me'achashe b'mtzars limedat Torah. Because through the study of Torah, goyim shakodesh baruch hu yechadesh leleimed eschayev. Hashem, you're causing Hashem then to renew the life of the one who is studying Torah. And therefore, as the Baal Shem Tov says, that the world is constantly being recreated. So it's ki'ilu neilad za'ata. Every moment as if you're reborn. Every moment as if you're reborn. So it's as if right now you're born all over again. But how'd you get life right now? Because of the Torah you studied now. That's called malamed ben chaveirei. There's a famous argument within the realm of Jewish jurisprudence. How does a mitzvah that you do once and remains with you, so how does that work? What is the philosophy of it? Is it that it happened once and therefore it remains, or it's an ongoing process? And this dispute was had as a discussion between the famous Reb Chaim of Brisk and the Gaon of Rogachev, Reb Yosef Rosen. And they had this discussion. They were arguing back and forth, throwing copious proofs each way. So they were talking about Kiddushin, talking about marriage. And he said, the Chaim Brisker said, when you gave Kiddushin the first time, it's as if you continue the Kiddushin. For as long as you're alive, it's as if you're continuing to marry your wife. And the Rogachev said, that's ridiculous. You married your wife once. You did the mitzvah once. You're going to make Birchas Eiros and all that. Always can't say you're getting married all over again. You get married once. Anyway, a little time goes by. And the Rogachev goes and says to Reb Chaim, Mazel Tov. So Reb Chaim says, why are you saying Mazel Tov? He says, what do you mean? You just got married. He wanted to prove that it's not viewed in that fashion. But the thing we're saying here is that Hashem is recreating the world at every moment. And we're supposed to be mindful of that. And if we're mindful of Hashem recreating the world every single moment, then we feel as if we're getting new life every single moment. And if somebody's teaching you Torah and you're getting Torah at that moment, then that's the way your life comes. That's the convention. That's the envelope through which life is coming to you. Ah, in that case, kol malamedes ben chaveirei ki'ilu yoladei. With this, we conclude.
Thank you, Father.